Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's up, Buffalo Fanatics? Josh Allen here. Just wanted to say, go Bills.
Oh, ho, ho! Baby! What is up, Buffalo Fanatics? C-Bot here with you. Live on the Buffalo Fanatics YouTube channel. On a New Year's Eve Sunday night, a victory Sunday night, a Sunday night where I don't know exactly how to feel right now. A lot of emotions going through my mind, and I'm processing them in real time. What did we see unfold today? I'm not entirely sure, but it resulted in a victory. Buffalo Bills take it at home. Over the New England Patriots 27-21 to keep their playoff hopes alive. And as you know, the Bills had a chance to clinch a playoff spot today with some help, and some help they did not get. Just about every scenario that could have benefited the Bills today from the outside did not come to fruition, except one. And that's going to lead us to the game of the year next week. In Miami, the AFC East title game, as we predicted on here, what feels like a millennium ago. Bills, Dolphins, week 18 for all the AFC East marbles. Win and you're in, lose, you're very likely going home. Have you ever heard of a scenario where the winning team gets the 2 seed and that same team could lose that game and wind up watching the playoffs on the couch? That's the reality that is in front of us right now, Bills Mafia. And it's a scary reality, but I got to tell you, it's one of those realities, if you're like me as a Bills fan, where you're addicted to the adrenaline rush, you're addicted to the pacing back and forth like we did last week, like we did today, like we've done pretty much every week this entire year. Hell, like we've done pretty much every week from September to January since we were born. Then this one's going to be for you. Welcome in tonight. Thanks so much for joining me. Off of that Bills victory, off of the 4 p.m. Slate games coming to an end that did not benefit the Buffalo Bills. Lot to talk about tonight, and I really appreciate you joining me on this New Year's Eve edition of the Smoke Break, powered by BetUS. Receive a 125% sign-up bonus in the link in the description below. We have a ton to talk about on this episode, including the Bills-Patriots game. What unfolded? What the hell was that? I mean, that game, there's hammered, and then there's blowing into the breathalyzer, and the thing breaks. They got to go get another one because they've never seen it read that number. That game was beyond cocked. I don't know what I was watching for about 3 hours. Part of it was really fun. Part of it was really miserable. The majority of it was anxiety fueled, as we're used to. The biggest concern, of course, obviously, coming away from that game, is what are these Buffalo Bills the last 2 weeks compared to what they were the several weeks going into that? Once again, we are in this period as Bills fans where we go from these chunks of really bad to really good to really bad to really good to now I don't know what this is. The nice thing is they're victories. The Bills had chunks of bad throughout the year. They almost all resulted in losses for the most part. These are resulting in victories. And if the Bills would have lost last week, which they easily could have, if the Bills would have lost today, which they easily could have, we would not even be in a position to look forward to next week being as big of a game as it's going to be. So we'll talk about Bills Patriots. We will talk about that game, Bills Dolphins, next week. We should find out. We might even find out live on the show here. If we do, please let me know in the comments. We should find out what time and what day that game's going to be. They haven't announced the games yet. There's Saturday night games. There's Sunday afternoon games, Sunday night games. Guaranteed. The Bills are either playing Saturday night or Sunday night, to be determined. We'll also talk about the updated AFC playoff picture, which the Bills are currently smack dab in the middle of, but do not have anything clinched. So much to talk about tonight that I could not do it myself, so I got to bring on my main man, my brother from another, the Revenator. The screen was black, and then it came to life. It was like a perfect intro. There he is, Rev.
Oh, how you there feeling? You go, baby. What's up, Z-Bot? Man, how you feeling, man? I'm
foremost. Let me be the first to wish you a happy 2024, and the last to wish you bid you an adieu to 2023.
That's right, man. Happy New Year's to you as well, brother. I'm glad to be here with you on the show, man. I'm feeling kind of indifferent right now. I don't know how to feel. We spent that time watching that game, and you know, we were on the pregame with Rico, man, and I was pretty confident in this game. Yeah, the Bills won it, but I was fairly confident that the Bills were going to show up and not play like they did last week against Easton Stick. But boy, was I surprised. The Bills escaped again for the second straight week with a narrow victory at home, mind you, against the New England Patriots. And man, he didn't look good.
No, it did not. Let me ask you right off the bat, because here's where I was this entire game. I'm sitting back and I'm watching it and I'm thinking to myself, what is going on here? Every other throw from Bailey Zappi for the first half was a turnover. Every time the Patriots touched the ball was a turnover. Hell, the game starts off with a kick return. I go to take a leak before the first series starts. I come back out, and I'm watching the Pats take it to the house. So you already got to start off with that. Immediate turnover by the New England Patriots on their first possession. The Bills get the ball in prime position, can't get into the end zone. So many weird intricacies to this game. So many positives, I would say, especially on the defensive side. Not a whole lot of positives at all on the offensive side, especially from our commander-in-chief, number 17. Your overall thought as you sat back and watched this, where were you mentally throughout the duration of the game?
I was on pins and needles.
Yep.
I couldn't get comfortable in this game at all, and where I felt like the Bills had it. You know, off the top, I mean, when they returned the kick, that really just let me know. I was like, we're in for one of these weird, crazy games again.
You can't make it up. You can't make that up.
You couldn't. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And then I started questioning, I'm like, why in the heck, or whose decision was it to kick the ball at the 2-yard line to number 83 in the first place instead of boot it out the back of the end zone? But regardless, I mean, they let these guys. I mean, it's like the sea parted right up the middle, and he ran all the way back for the touchdown, opening kickoff. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me! Don't tell me we're in for this game. And sure enough, we were. And I was never comfortable, even with the defensive mastermind play by the defense. I mean, they played lights out for the majority of that game, and turnover after turnover after. I still could not get comfortable. It was that crazy of a game. And, you know, I was infuriated at one point to where I can't believe that these Buffalo Bills are playing this poorly on offense. And I know we'll talk about Josh Allen and others here shortly, but that's kind of how I felt the entire game.
Couldn't agree more. We will talk in depth about all of that, but let's not waste any time at the beginning of the show. Let's talk about the most prominent aspect at hand, and that is the playoff picture. The Buffalo Bills could have clinched today with help surrounding them in the AFC. They got their win. That, of course, was the first necessary step. There were other steps at hand that if they went the Bills' way, the Bills would clinch a playoff spot. Nearly all of those factors went against the Bills today, except the Kansas City Chiefs.
I want to give a quick shout out to the Seattle Seahawks, my new most hated team. It was the Dallas Cowboys for the last couple of weeks. It's been the Miami Dolphins for some time. Seattle, congratulations. The crown is on top of your head for at least this week. We'll see who I end up hating more this coming week. But the Buffalo Bills, you know, as bad as it was at times during that game, at the end of the day, they got their part of it done. And you go into the 4 o'clock games with the opportunity to clinch. They were unable to get those opportunities to go their way. So here we sit, and as we talk about the playoffs, you know where I'm heading, Rev. I'm heading to that old ESPN simulator.
I already know where we currently stand.
So the 4 p.m.s are in the books. The day games are in the books, and the only game left for this week is an NFC matchup between the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings, which has no impact on the Buffalo Bills and their playoff seating. So here it is, folks, as it stands right now. If the season were to have ended today, here's what you have. Baltimore, we will talk about them later on in the show. Wow. And it was exactly what I thought it would be, too. And I got to tell you, even I was shocked. I thought they were going to beat out of Miami. I didn't have 56-19.
No,
I had
me neither.
35-13. What they did to Miami was what the Bills did to them, almost with an extra shot of espresso. It was unreal. When you couple that with the fact that they did that same thing to San Fran last week on the road, look out. Lamar Jackson, and of course, Rev, I was thinking about you and Rico. Of course, after we go on our long tangent about Josh Allen's MVP case, he has the worst game of his year, maybe the worst game. One. And Lamar just goes on to maybe have the best game of his career. Lamar Jackson will be your 2023 MVP. Yeah, he has led the Baltimore Ravens to the one seed. They clinched that today. Here are the wild card teams and the seedings as it stands right now. If it ended, Colts would play Miami, 7-2 seed. Bills would be the 6. Chiefs just edged it out against the Bengals. They would be the 3 seed. Cleveland has it locked up. They're the 5th seed, and Jacksonville would be the 4th seed. But as we know, that is not going to stay that way. There is going to be significant changes this coming week. Yeah. The big reality at hand here, and the scariest part about what is about to unfold, is that the luxury the Bills would have had been given today, if those factors went their way, would have been they could have gone into next week with that game still being massive. AFC championship on the AFC East championship, rather, excuse me, on the line. You win that, you're the 2 seed. You're guaranteed at least 2 home playoff games, the potential of a home AFC championship game should you make it that far and the Ravens drop out. Obviously, the title of being a 4th consecutive AFC East champion, stealing that from Miami, which would mean so much to me, that entire castle crumble down to the ground. It still will, and now it means even more. But obviously, it still would have meant a lot, but it would have been a little easier to swallow if the Bills wind up losing next week, knowing, hey, they're still in the playoffs. What are you going to do at this point in the season? We're lucky to even be in it based on the way things went. But based on the way things went today, it's not a luxury the Bills have going into next week. Not only do the Bills go into that game wanting to win the AFC East, wanting to get that 2 seed, they're going into that game almost needing to win that. I don't even want to say almost. It's pretty much a 90% need for them to win and that ball to get into the playoffs. And let me explain what I mean. So we'll go to week 18 here. Here is the landscape. Now, the Steelers just beat the Seahawks. Once again, shout out Seattle. Way to go. Geno and the gang, DK dropping touchdowns in the end zone. Geno fumbling all over himself. They gave up almost 500 offensive yards to Mason Rudolph. Bravo to you, Seattle.
Come on, man.
We appreciate the effort today. Absolute joke. So with that, Seattle, who had about a 12% playoff chance going into today, is very much alive. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, with their win today, those two games have immediate impact on the Bills. And here's how. If the Bills lose next week to the Miami Dolphins, and I'll just go through here and I'll put in the NFC games and I'll put in the random games that don't really factor in with the Bills all that much. I'll go through and do that right now. But what you'll come to see here is that there's a scenario where if the Bills lose, and only 2 games go a certain way, the Bills would be eliminated from the playoffs. What is insane about that is that if the Bills win, they're the 2 seed. It's not like if they win, they're the 7 seed and you're lucky to make it. If they win, they're the top seed without a bye. If they lose, there's a very likely chance they're not in it. And I can't remember or recall a scenario ever that was like that. So here's what you'll see here. I'll put in a Dolphins beating the Bills here. And I haven't adjusted these other games. But if you watch, if Pittsburgh beats Baltimore and Jacksonville beats Tennessee, bye-bye Buffalo. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, Bot, how the hell is Pittsburgh going to beat Baltimore? Well, I'll tell you how. Because their entire starting roster will be on the sideline watching the game with the rest of us.
Right.
Not to say it's a guarantee. We've seen plenty of spoiler type games in Week 18 where the backups end up winning. We've seen it before. Do you feel good about it? Certainly not. Same situation with Jacksonville, who's already locked up, I believe. Or no, are they already? No, they're fighting for their playoff spot.
Yeah.
They're fighting for the division. But Tennessee is a team that I don't know if you fully trust, especially if Trevor Lawrence is able to come back, which there's a possibility that he will. Do you trust Tennessee to be able to get that victory? What I'm laying out to you here is if the Bills end up losing this game, there was a pretty prominent thought out there that they were still going to get, they were still going to likely be in. It's looking more and more now like they're very likely to be out should they lose that game. Now, I'm not gearing up for a letdown, but if you don't think that adds tenfold the tension to this game, this game is everything now. And in fact, this game is essentially a playoff game in Week 18, which, Rev, it had to have been a month or two ago where we were on together, and I think we were talking about it. And I said, the way that this is going to go down in typical Bills fashion and in typical Dolphins fashion is the Dolphins are going to melt down like they always do. The Bills are going to give us every reason in the world to buy back in, and it's all going to come down to one game. And that's exactly what's at hand here. And the crazy thing, I think, of all of it is that it's against the Miami Dolphins, where you can just tell, I don't know how you feel recently, Rev, this is the biggest, I don't know if hatred is the right word, but when we were rivals growing, or at least when I was growing up with the Pats, the Jets, the Dolphins, it wasn't rivalries. The Bills were fighting to maybe have a winning record.
Yeah.
This is a whole different ballgame, and it's become a very animosity-fueled rivalry between not only the fan base, but these teams. The Bills have dominated the Dolphins. The Dolphins know that. The Bills beat the Dolphins in the playoffs last year. Josh Allen is what? 9-2 all time against these Dolphins. The fan base goes at it nonstop online. The Dolphins thought they had this thing wrapped up earlier in the year. They blew it. Now it comes down to this. I mean, there's just so much on the line. And that's not even getting into the fact that the Bills' playoff chances themselves are more than likely hinging on them winning this game. Now, as you'll see here, if I just go in and switch this, I mean, if the Ravens, who still have a decent, I mean, I still like the Ravens B team. I mean, that's how good the Ravens are. The Ravens B team last year without Lamar should have been in the wild card. It wasn't for a terrible fumble on the goal line. They do. So that's a possibility. But I don't like to go into the game banking on it. And then the same thing over here as well. If Tennessee beats Jacksonville, then the Bills will be in. They'll swap to the 6 seed. It doesn't matter as long as the Bills win. They'll be at the 2 seed. Then whoever they play will be determined by how these games shake up. I don't really care about who they play or what they'll play or where they'll play. They need to get
in. They just have to win. They have to win.
Today, Rev, and I know you did too, I really thought that the clinch was going to happen. All three teams were favored. All three teams were at home. All three teams were fighting for their playoff lives. And it did not go the Bills' way. So there it is, folks. Right off the bat, this is what is ahead of us this coming week. This is the biggest week in some time that isn't including an actual playoff game. This is massive. So, Rev, with the knowledge of this, where are you at when you couple what you just saw last week, when you couple what you saw today, but you also couple in what you saw from Miami, including a couple of injuries, one being Bradley Chubb, perhaps their best defensive player, done. Where are you at right now mentally knowing, okay, Patriots game's done, week 17's done, they didn't clinch, it's on to week 18, And this is what I got in front of me. Where's your mind at when you're thinking about what's ahead of us here?
It's tough, Bot, because that's why, for me personally, this game was so important for the Bills. But not just them getting the win. It was how they were going to win. Mm. I needed to see the offense, you know, give us glimpses of Cowboys game, you know, I mean, of weeks past. Not like I needed them to get as far away from that Easton Stick Chargers escape game as possible in order for me to have more and more confidence and hope going into the Miami game week 18. I didn't want to look too far ahead, but I needed that confidence for myself personally. They did not give me that because, again, for the second straight week, the offense fell completely flat. And Josh Allen was the main reason for that. Despite what the defense was doing for them, Josh Allen could not get out of his own way. Him and the offense were atrocious this game. Had it not been for the defense, this team could have been lost, and our playoff hopes would have been done today. And so going into this Miami game, yeah, I'm looking at, okay, Bradley Chubb, you know, that was an unfortunate injury. You know, could the Bills – of course the Bills could win. We look at – the stats and Josh Allen's, you know, numbers against the Miami Dolphins. And yeah, it's in our favor. But at the same time, let's not act like Miami doesn't have anything to play for either. And because even though they've already clinched a spot, you have to know that they would want nothing more than to keep the Bills out of the playoffs. Understanding the stakes right now for the Bills and just this growing tension between the fan bases and the rivalry right now, you know they would love to kick the Bills out of the playoffs. And so having that opportunity, you got to believe that they're going to come with it. I believe that Jalen Waddle's probably going to be – he's going to return probably. They're probably going to have Jalen Waddle and Raheem Mostert back. So you're going to have Hill, Waddle, Mostert back, and Achan. So the offense, at least, is going to be intact. Now, we can talk about the defense of the Miami Dolphins all day long. I think we could be in for a shootout, a classic shootout in Miami in Week 18. And it's really – it's a flip of a coin right now. It really is. It's tough to beat the team and to sweep them twice. I mean, to sweep them in a season – the Bills are going to have to do that. They're going to have to come with their A game and come out on fire against the Miami Dolphins team who's looking to end our season next week. So I think that the Bills can win. Will they win is a completely different story. I would have felt better had the Bills shown me something offensively today. Now I'm going into next week like, man, it's a flip of the coin. I have no idea.
And that's the thing I think is the toughest part about this team. And it's the toughest part about Josh Allen. I have no idea what I'm going to get. Hell, I don't even know what I'm going to get from half to half. The first half, Josh Allen, was significantly worse than the second half, Josh Allen. I have no idea why sometimes. I have no idea. Sometimes you can just tell by watching his demeanor and his body language out on the field that it's just going to be a day. Today, he did not have his feet set once in the first half. He was all over the place. He was throwing balls low. He was throwing balls high. Nothing was close. The interception he had today was absolutely horrendous. It's the worst interception he's had in weeks. It goes back to the week one interceptions that he had against the New York Jets, where there's absolutely no reason to throw that ball. There's nobody open. It's double coverage on a 40-yard seam route to your rookie tight end.
Yeah.
You don't do that in that scenario, especially in a game where you know points are going to be extremely tough to come by for New England. It's not that I look at this Miami game and think that they can't win, but what I know they can win. I mean, they've proven time and time again that they can beat this Miami Dolphins team. That's for sure. But what I do know is there's no possible way it's going to be what it was in week four or whenever they played. It's not going to be 48-20 again. There's just no possible way you can run that back. And I don't know what I get from Miami on a weekly basis. I don't know what I get from Buffalo. That's what makes this game so scary, is you have no idea what version of what team is going to show up. Are you going to get a Miami Dolphins team that when they're clicking, they're absolutely on fire? Or are you going to get a Miami Dolphins team that today got absolutely embarrassed? Mm-hmm. I'm talking next level destroyed. And they've done that against the Ravens now, the Bills now. They have lost every meaningful game outside of that Dallas game last week. And I think the more time goes on here, we realize Dallas, they might be the biggest frauds in the league. Philadelphia, wow.
Yeah.
You want to talk about fraudulent. So I don't even know how big of a victory that was. I don't know who Miami is. I also really don't know who these Buffalo Bills are. As soon as you think they're going to be getting, their feet underneath of them, stringing positive game after positive game together. Yeah. You then go into these two games, which scare you the most for some reason. It's almost like playing Easton Stick and Bailey Zappi are somehow scarier than playing Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, and Dak Prescott, because they're so susceptible to doing what they've done the last 2 weeks. And that's just finding a way to allow these teams to somehow linger around for the duration of the game. And they almost go out of their way to do everything in their power to do it. It almost makes me feel better about next week, Rev, in a weird way, because it just feels like when they need to turn it on, they do. But it's very concerning that in back-to-back weeks, you had an identical situation where you're playing a team where you're 14-point favorites. It's a backup quarterback. They're so injured that you can barely name five players on the starting roster. They're barely able to field an entire team, it seems. I mean, hell, Bailey Zappi today, who the hell was he throwing the ball to at times? I have no idea. And it's somehow a one-score game, what felt like through the duration of the football game. And if you had your eyes closed the whole time and listened to the broadcast, you would have thought it was 55-3 the way things were going. So part of me is just like, you know what? You got out of there with the win. And there have been plenty of times where they just find a way to lose that. But you don't nearly have the confidence after these last 2 weeks that you did after going into Philly and even losing that game, right? You still played extremely well. The way you played against Kansas City, the way you played against Dallas, certainly the way you played against the New York Jets, obviously. I don't know what to make of it, and that's what makes this coming game and what really will be this entire week. It's going to be scary. I mean, I'm not going to be getting much sleep at all this week. I can tell you that just knowing what's around the corner here. It's exactly what I thought this season would culminate into, because this is the most Billsy thing, where it's going to come down to this. Can they not do the Billsy thing and do everything in their power to get to where they needed to be just to falter? If they go in next week, Rev, I'll tell you this. Yeah. If they go in next week after these last 2 weeks and they roll,
oh my God,
48-20, but I'm talking a sizable win where it felt like they were the better team all game. Yeah. I'm not going to feel any sort of way, just because I feel like this team constantly is able to step up when needed most.
Yeah.
I'm going to feel one way or the other, win or lose next week, depending if they get in or not. A lot of next week is going to dictate what I feel about this Buffalo Bills team moving forward.
I couldn't agree with you anymore. I mean, because you just don't know. And that's what's so bad about it. Like this season, really, you can really just wrap this whole season up into that statement. Who are these Buffalo Bills? Well, from a week to week, who are they? You know, and going into next week with this type of a game on the line, I can't answer that question with confidence. I just don't know what type of Bills team we're going to see. I would like to believe and expect this Bills team to show up, understanding what's at stake, and really come out here on fire and put these past couple of weeks with poor offensive performances, you know, in the rear view mirror. But I just don't know. And it even plays into this whole narrative. Like, I mean, are the Bills just playing down to their opponents? You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you're a championship caliber team, you should not play down to your opponent. You know, I never liked that, you know, and I hate to admit that is the case, but it seems as though it's being like that, you know, and I need the Bills when they're playing against an inferior team and you got backup quarterbacks and you've got missing players here and there. I need them to look like the superior team, the Buffalo Bills. They have not done that the past couple of weeks. And so it gives me some kind of caution. Now, make no mistake about it. I'm not hoping for a Bills loss. I'm not doing that. I'm not shaking in my boots or anything like that. I'm not afraid of the Dolphins because the Bills have beaten them before, but just understanding how important this game is, it is going to have me incredibly nervous all week until the game starts and really throughout the game, because you have to know, Bot, that Mike McDaniel, like him or hate him, you know, he's a corny guy, in my opinion. I'm not really too much of a fan, but from an X's and O's guy, you have to know that this guy is going to dial up some stuff and he's going to make some adjustments going into this game. It's going to be a chess match, and it's going to be, to me, I think it's going to be like the battle of the coaches. I mean, can Sean McDermott out coach Mike McDaniels in his offense for the second time this year when it's a win and in type of scenario? I mean, you know, and that's still to be determined. We'll have to wait and see.
We certainly will. And I'll tell you, I'm not I didn't lose any confidence going into next week because of today. I'm just wondering what exactly they are. It feels like every game I'm getting something different. Let's talk about today in particular and what really stood out. What stood out to me was a couple of things. I thought, one, this was probably Josh Allen's worst game, or at least one of them, but in my opinion, probably his worst game since week one against the New York Jets. It felt he could not do any right for a very long, extended period of time. It also didn't help that there were numerous drops. It also didn't help that the O-line was getting destroyed. That's been a big concern of mine the last couple of weeks. The offensive line has been the best it's been in years this year, and all of a sudden, it hasn't been. He was under pressure every single time he dropped back to throw the ball today. That didn't help. He never seemed to get set. And I think that's why they wound up running him a ton. He had 11 carries today, nearly 50 yards, two rushing touchdowns. I thought his play today was about as bad as you're going to get from him. Now, of course, with that, you're still going to get some extraordinary plays. He had a couple of throws on the run to extend drives that were phenomenal. But you factor in the interception, you factor in this, the fact that he started, 0-for-6, and it got up to, 2-for-10 at one point?
Yeah, it was bad.
It's about as bad as it could possibly be. Yeah. And it wasn't like it was all drops or a bunch of BS. I mean, you don't have that type of start to a game if you're dialed in. There's not going to be 8 drops. There's not going to be 8 misreads. I mean, it was a lot of him.
He was off the mark all over the place.
Yeah, throwing it behind guys, throwing it over guys' heads. I don't know exactly what factors into him being like that, with the ability to then go into another game and him being maybe the best quarterback you've ever seen in a particular game. It blows my mind.
It's frustrating.
It is.
It's frustrating. Yeah.
But to me, that certainly stood out. The one other thing I thought stood out outside of that and the offensive line struggles, which kind of blended into one another, because it adds insult to injury when Josh is already off and he's also got a guy breathing down his neck every time he drops back. But I also thought this was Joe Brady's poorest performance since he's taken over. I am sick and tired of the constant bubble screen, the constant need to go to the bubble screen when they're trying to get wide receivers involved in the game. I don't think it's worked once. They've tried it every single week. I think today they ran it at least 2 or 3 times. They ran it once to Cook. It was dropped. They ran one to the left. No dice. I don't know what that is. All I know is the reason I bring it up, I've seen it once a week, it feels like, and I hate it. But what I did love from Joe Brady tonight is he went away from the things we were praising him for in the pregame show today, Rev. They started off knowing, hey, Allen is not on. They were running the ball pretty well.
Running the ball.
And all of a sudden, it felt like you had gone an extended period of time without seeing James Cook touch the football. And it felt like in this particular game where you knew New England was going to struggle to score, running the ball would be your friend, especially knowing early on, man, Allen does not have it today. Let's stick to the ground. I mean, I'll give him credit. They dialed up a lot for Allen to do on the ground to supplement that. But I had just felt like they weren't going back to the well enough. And there were times like the 3rd and short situation where the Bills are up 27-13. It's 3rd and 1. And they bring Latavius Murray in for his first carry of the day when that tush push.
Yeah, I hated that.
All game long. It's little things like that from Joe Brady today that I was confused by because he has been great at sticking with what has been proved to work in a game. Didn't think he did his best job of that today. So you factor that in with a poor performance from Allen, the offensive line getting ravished. And all in all, it was a game that was saved by the defense, gifting them field position, gifting them points, gifting them a touchdown from Rasul Douglas, the player of the game.
Yeah.
The offense is lucky that they faced as bad of an offense as they did in the New England Patriots today. They're also lucky that the defense capitalized early on because, as you know, Rev, a defense, even when they're playing as well as the Bills were, you can only hang on for so long.
Exactly.
You can't shut down a team an entire game. They shut down Bailey Zappe as bad as you can shut down a quarterback for the first quarter and a half. But it's going to get to a point where the offense has got to start pulling their weight, especially when you're getting the ball near the red zone and you're kicking field goals instead of putting in touchdowns. They could have erased The kick return right off the bat, Ed Oliver with an ungodly play for a defensive line and picking that ball off. And they immediately go three and out. It's the things like that that concern you going into the playoffs, because if you can't take advantage of those situations now, it makes you wonder what is going to be the outcome going into the playoffs in similar situations. And they had plenty of opportunity today to do it and to right the wrongs, and they really couldn't do it. They had 20 points, Rev, with about 13 minutes left in the second quarter today, and they finished the game with 27. All around, the entire offense, as Rico likes to say, the entire offense. I don't know if you can fit them all on there, but they were on the milk cart.
Yeah, every last one of them. It was so bad. So bad. Like I was fuming, like you talk about that Ed Oliver play. They couldn't cash in. That third and one where they brought in Latavius Murray. I hated that play. The tush push was working all day long. I mean, just get the first down. Don't be cute, you know. Don't bring in Latavius Murray, and he's been kind of off, you know, the last few weeks anyway. And he, as big as he is, he just kind of runs straight up. I just didn't like it. Back to the, like, when I think about the run game, I almost wonder if Joe Brady was like concerned about the defense of the Patriots stopping the run up. I mean, because they have a very good defensive line, especially in the interior of the defensive line. And the offense just was not generating any type of push or any type of movement. I saw one play, and it seems like the run play is the same exact play over and over and over again, where they pull Deion Dawkins around. I mean, like they flip James Cook at the last second, and then they pull Deion Dawkins around, and then James Cook, you know, follows in behind him. I saw one play where they finally got tired of it, and they cracked the heck out of Deion, and he almost looked like, I mean, he got slow, you know, getting up. I thought he was hurt, but I think they just kind of they knew what the Bills were going to do running the ball, and so that could have discouraged Brady from running it. And then on top of this, and I will say this, granted, I mean, he has done a remarkable job these past few weeks, you know, since he's gotten the interim job. But let's not forget that Joe Brady is really not calling his own offense. Like he is doing the best he can with another man's offense. And could it be that he has maximized Ken Dorsey's offense, and teams are starting to kind of look at it and figure them out, because there's not a whole lot that they've been able to switch up, you know? They caught people off guard, but it's like, how much variation can you bring into somebody else's offense? I don't know. That's going to be up for Joe Brady and the rest of his offensive staff to figure out, because if you're going into next week, and then if you happen to win and get into playoffs, you have to figure out something different, because it's going to be all about coaching then. But it all in all, it was just a bad performance by the offense. Again, so bad. Josh Allen, and can we talk about just the lack of help? Granted, Josh was
what
terrible.
I wanted to get to next.
Josh,
I don't
was
know
terrible.
What's going on. But Stephon Diggs, you don't even know if he's on the team month and a half.
It makes me wonder, like, is it? And I see some people in the chat, and I've kind of questioned within myself, like, is there something going on with Diggs health wise? Is there an undisclosed injury that he's dealing with? Because he has not been the same for several weeks now. And we can talk about how, you know, Josh Allen is missing him here and there, but even when you look at the snap count, his snap counts are dropping, you know, pretty remarkably over the past couple of years. I mean, his snap count percentage has paved the way for Gabe Davis. Like, Gabe Davis has gotten more snap counts over the past couple of years than Stephon Diggs. It's weird. I don't understand what's going on. Joe Brady has talked about, like, well, you know, it's just they've kind of like pushed it under the rug, swept it under the rug. I don't know what's going on, because we're not getting any answers, and it just brings us more questions. I don't know what's going on with him. Diggs has done absolutely nothing. One, I mean, what is Diggs' numbers? I mean, absolutely nothing. I'm looking at it. 4 for 26.
So let's talk about what's been. Here's Diggs' numbers. Since the Cincy game, November 5th. So this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games. 34 yards, 27 yards. His best game, bar none, was against the Eagles, 74 yards. But before that, the two games before that, 34, 27, the 74, immediately after that was 24, 48, 29, and 26. I mean, in that chunk of games, in 8 games, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4 games with less than 30 yards. And in all of those games but one, Rev, five or less catches. And there were games earlier in the season, if you go back, when he started the year, 10, 7, 8, 8, 10. I understand you got to adapt. And frankly, it doesn't bother me a ton because they've been winning. But the trend is too crazy to ignore at this point.
Yeah, it really is.
I'm starting to wonder what the reasoning is behind it, because he's way too good to be putting up numbers that are of, I mean, you fill in the blank. Khalil Shakir is more of an impact on this offense right now in the pass game than Stephon Diggs is.
Yeah.
And that is not a one-off. We are talking about a solid month here where Diggs, this is the last five games. They're what, one?
Yeah.
One, two, four games. Last four games, Rev, five catches or less, under 50 yards. Three of those four games, under 30 yards. That's a month of football. That's a quarter of the season. There's got to be a reason behind it. Now, I understand, and Joe Brady makes a good point. I understand this. Diggs is such a good receiver and such a respected receiver. He does command enough of your defense to be able to open things up. But that's not why you have him on the team, especially when you don't have anybody else near the caliber of him. You really don't have a solidified wide receiver too at all. This is awfully concerning, and I think it's factoring into the way Allen plays sometimes. Got to be tough to be confident back there. Got to be tough feeling your best when not only the offensive line's getting ran over, but your top receiver has been on a milk carton himself for the better half of the last month, back-to-back-to-back-to-back. It's weird. And you couple that in, Rev, with the fact that Gabe Davis has had numerous games in that stint with zero catches. I got to tell you, the one thing that makes you feel better about it is with the loss of these guys putting up numbers, the run game has certainly stepped up. Not so much today. But I mean, man, the last month and a half, the run game, that might be the best run game the Bills have displayed since LeSean McCoy was on the team.
Yeah.
We know James Cook just eclipsed 1,000 yards today. But there just seems to be something weird. And I don't know exactly the reason. I don't know if it's an injury. I don't know if it's the scheme. I don't know. I don't know.
It's strange because, I mean, I'm looking at Diggs's numbers from last year. And going back, I mean, I can just go back. I'm not even going to include just the playoff games. But there hasn't been a stretch all year last year where Diggs has performed like this. I mean, I'm going back. Let's see. I'm going back to the New England game last year to close out the season, week 18. Diggs 104 yards. Before then, against Chicago. Okay, he had 26 yards. Before then, 60, 37, 92, 77, 48. But that's it. Everything else has been 100 yards, 90 yards, 60 plus, 70 plus, like even last year. So I see some people talking about, well, Diggs is getting doubled. Diggs was getting doubled last year. Like Diggs was getting, he's been getting doubled. So what's the difference this year as opposed to last year? Last year was a full year with Ken Dorsey. So like, I don't understand. And here's the thing also, like last year, everybody knew it was Josh Allen and Diggs. Like there was really nothing else. So it's either stop Diggs and you stop the offense or not, and they still couldn't do it. So it has me so puzzled right now about Diggs, where I just can't find the answer. And it makes me wonder, like, did 30 really do that working number on Diggs? Like, you know, we hear about receivers when they turn 30, and 30 is a magic number when they start to kind of decline. I mean, he just turned 30, late November. Are we starting to see a decline from Diggs? Is it something else?
The best start of his career that he ever had in his career early in the year. That's the weird thing. I mean, remember that stint there where he had, five consecutive 100-yard games just dominating? I understand a decrease in production with the increase in James Cook's role in this offense and their ability to run the ball. But when I'm seeing five or six games on the ledger here with less than 30 yards, that's beyond being supplemented by the run game. There's something more to it.
Like, he's not separating the same way he used to. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm looking too far into it. Maybe I'm just being over analytical. Dropping passes, uncharacteristic. I'll tell you what I think the problem is. I think I figured it out, but it's the cornrows. It's the cornrows.
I know you were saying.
When Josh Allen got the haircut.
Yeah, I was going to say the hair.
We're like Josh with the shag and, you know, and the long hair. No, forget that. Josh, cut your hair. And as soon as he did that, offense was different. Josh looked different. Diggs going to the cornrows for the first time. He hasn't been the same. I think we need to see Afro Diggs. I think that's what it is. Somebody needs to tell him to get rid of the cornrows, go back to Afro, and maybe we'll see the Stephon Diggs of old. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out.
I want to give credit where it's due, because this New England Patriots defense, and we talked about it before the game even started. I mean, they were going to be the reason this game was going to be close. Funny enough, Rev, the game started almost identical to how it started last week for these New England Patriots against the Broncos. We talked about this. First play of the game for them offensively, turnover. Red zone gifted to the opposing team, and the defense shuts them down. And if the Bills score a touchdown there, I mean, maybe that game gets blown open beyond proportion, and the Patriots are never able to get back into it the way that they did. But I factor in the way the Patriots defense played against the Bills, has played against the Bills, and how they play against everybody. They're a great defense. But last week, Rev, the Chargers might have the worst pass defense in the league outside of maybe Philly, and Stephon Diggs put the exact same stat line. So in his particular circumstance, I don't know what the factor is. It's certainly not just because the Patriots defense is great. That had a lot to do with the Bills not being able to do a whole lot else today, I think. But
yeah,
it just felt like today Joe Brady did not have the extra card in his deck to throw at New England when they were constantly getting after Allen, constantly creating uncomfortable situations for him. Let's talk about how they scored their points today, because if you look at
I'll tell you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say before you got into it, I think they need to figure out how to get Khalil Shakir more involved.
I agree, because it
seems like every time they finally get him involved, he produces all the time. I don't know what it is. He catches everything. Balls behind him. It doesn't matter. And he has the yards after the catch. Get him involved more, and I think that may open it up. I mean, use him more in that underneath slot Cole Beasley role. Figure something out with Khalil Shakir. But I just thought that I needed to say that, because he's been playing very well anytime he gets his chances.
I got to tell you, Rev, I'm actually shocked Allen was only sacked once today. I mean, credit to him for getting rid of it. It felt like it was way more than that. But this stat line, there should never be a time where Allen's going 15 of 30.
Look at his passer rating.
It's atrocious. I mean, you look at Bailey Zappi's stat line right to the left of it. It's basically identical outside of the interceptions. The biggest difference in this game, and the reason the Bills won it, everything was identical or even favoring New England in this game, but the turnover margin. You're not going to win a game when you're that bad and you have four turnovers to the Bills one. That's what it was. However, that was supplemented a bit by the kick return. That was their turnover, so to speak. But if you look at how the Bills scored their points today, because you're looking at 27, right? And you're going to sign up for 27 most games, especially the way things have been lately. I mean, you look at what the Chiefs are recently. They can barely crack 21 points. You're looking at some of these teams in the league that have high-powered offenses when they're clicking, but then all of a sudden you got a team like the Miami Dolphins. When they face a good defense, they get absolutely shut down. Same thing with the Dallas Cowboys, whatever. You're going to sign up for 27 the majority of the time. But the Bills didn't get a respectable 27, in my opinion, today. They didn't really have a true 27. Because if you look at what unfolded, the Bills immediately go down 7-0.
Yeah.
And they are gifted. Now, I don't even want to say gifted, because it was an extraordinary play. But God, I don't know what the hell Bailey Zappi was doing. He just ripped it. He just threw it wherever he could get rid of it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Tipped up and I mean, Ed Oliver, by the way, if I had a team MVP over the last month, him and Rasul Douglas can split it down the middle and take a piece home to their families. Those two off the charts. And how about, you know, just a sidebar, Ed Oliver, a guy, not sure if everybody wanted to pay him in this offseason. Worth every cent. Rasul Douglas, you sign him off the street and you're like, what even is this? You can give that guy a blank check next year for all I care.
Absolutely. He's been one
of the best players on this entire defense, bar none, since the day he came on here. But
I agree.
Circling back to the offense, they get that interception from Ed Oliver, and it's an immediate.
Go back, but because go back after the return kick.
The first offensive, three and out. Immediate
three and
punt. And immediate. Speaking of punt, by the way, don't let this go underrated. Sam Martin today, absolutely brilliant. Brilliant job by him today. Special teams has been an underrated problem for this team throughout the year. I mean, it was a problem today right off the bat. But Sam Martin, man, I mean, he was punting like his life was dependent on it today. And when you're backing up a quarterback like Bailey Zappe to his own goal line, when Allen's playing this way, I can't stress enough how much that factored into, you know, the game going the way it did. But
absolutely,
you had the Tyler Bass field goal off of that poor start, where they ended up punting. But if we're just looking at the scoring drives, the touchdown that they got was immediately off the other pick. And that was when they were running the ball the best, Rev. They were running the ball with some real, you know, fierceness in that drive, and they capped it off with a tush-push touchdown. The one positive I'll say that I take away the most from this offense today, that tush-push looked better than Philly's all day long. That was unstoppable. They were getting like Philly-type yardage on it, like 2-3 yards. That's what made that Latavius Murray run. That's why that really stood out to me the most today, by the way, as the biggest indictment on Joe Brady. I don't even know necessarily how bad of a day Joe Brady's day was. That made it a bad day to me. I hated that play call, and that switched the game. If the Bills get a first down there, I don't know if the Patriots end up scoring again. It completely changed the ball game. But anyway, you move on. After that touchdown where they were set up in their own territory, in Patriots territory, they run the ball almost exclusively. Another field goal. And then they don't score again offensively until the third quarter, which they came out and you're thinking, where was this all game? They come out of half. Allen's dead on target. They're slinging it all over the field. Dalton Kincaid has that massive catch down the field. They walk into the end zone. Rev, they didn't do that once before that. They didn't do that once after it. Their only other touchdown, of course, was Rasul Douglas's on the pick six. Unbelievable game from him today. Two interceptions, a fumble recovery, and that touchdown. But as I said earlier, Rev, when he got that pick six, that put the Bills at 20 points with 13 minutes left in the second quarter, and they finished with 27. So you look at that 27-point total for the Bills, and that is not a respectable 27 today at all.
No, completely. I mean, after that touchdown drive, you know, coming out of the half, the Bills went punt in game.
Yes.
It was abysmal performance by the offense. That's why, it's exactly why you really have to look at how the Bills score their points. You can't just look at the score and then say, hey, well, the Bills did a good job. No, it was bad. It was bad. It was bad on offense. And so, like, I have a lot of questions, I mean, about this offense. I mean, granted, I mean, you could expect Bill Belichick, right? So Bill Belichick coached defense. Kyle Duggar was back, you know, I mean, coming off of his illness. You knew that they were going to play tough. But when the Bills were gifted not just the turnovers, but the field position in which they got those turnovers.
That's the key.
Yeah. They were gifted incredible field. Can you imagine had they had those turnovers and they had to march down the field? We could be talking about a completely different game here.
What I will give them credit for, and they have been good at this almost all year long, no matter how bad they seem to be playing throughout the game, they find a way to end the game pretty damn well every single time. You can't lie to yourself, Rev. Even though that's Bailey damn Zappi on the other side of the field, you didn't want to give them the damn ball back. I know I didn't. The Bills
got the ball back
with 5 minutes left in that game, and the Patriots never saw it again. To me, tip of the cap. I was definitely impressed with the way that they finished that game out. But the way that they finished it out was kind of what made me upset about what I didn't see earlier on in the game, where they were sticking to going up through the short. They were sticking to short routes that weren't bubble screens. They were getting guys open in the flat, moving the ball that way. And then they were running the ball, tic-tac-toeing, moving the clock or moving the sticks. And they were also able to get the first downs to end the game. I was convinced there was going to be multiple times wherever they wouldn't get the first down. They were going to have to settle for the field goal and you leave it open that way. Even though you're still up two scores, there's a potential for Bass to miss it. You have no idea. You just want to end the game with the ball in your hands.
Yeah.
So I'll give them the credit there. That's the weird thing about them. It's the weird thing about Josh Allen. Frankly, it's the weirdest thing about this team. They will do nothing. They will do nothing. They will look terrible. Then they will come out of the half and have that 8-play, 75-yard drive where everything's working. Allen looks like he's on fire. And they won't do it again. And then they'll end the game strong almost every time. So I don't know. All I know today is, Rev, I'm glad we're sitting here kind of – the reason we're doing this, and I stress this – everybody knows on my show how much I've stressed this over the last couple of weeks. I said I'm not going to sit here and pick apart victories when the Bills are in no position to pass up on a win's a win type game.
Yeah, for sure.
It's different now. Next week's the playoffs. I don't care if it's week 18. Next week's the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it's beyond that to me. I want this AFC East championship more than I've ever wanted one in my life.
Badly.
To be able to steal that from those Dolphins would make my entire year, and we're not even – we're about to be – just kissing the beginning of 2024 in a couple hours here. That would already make my whole year. I could have the shittiest year ever coming up here. That would be the best part of my year. I don't care what the hell. I could win the lottery, and that could be the best part of my year. So that's why we're sitting here doing this. It's no longer, all right, now we just got to go beat the Chargers. Now we got to go beat the Patriots, right? No, now it's that time now. And now we're sitting here. And we wouldn't be doing this. And this is why I was way more lenient last week, as I think you were as well. They had just put together a damn great performance against Philly despite a loss, a damn great performance against the Jets, a damn great gritty performance against the Chiefs. Now, I know there were their ups and downs in all of these games, but we're talking about games that were essentially playoff games for these Bills. And they found a way in every game, and the majority of them, they were playing their best football of the year. And then you top that off with one of the most embarrassing losses the Dallas Cowboys have had in their franchise history. 100 total yards of offense was sickeningly embarrassing, right? So the reason we're talking the way we are now, last week I was a bit more lenient because I'm thinking, you know, it's got that classic trap game written all over it. Chargers just fired their GM and their coach. They might have that.
Getting a boost.
Resurgence that everybody seems to get from that. They got nothing to lose. The Bills got to go all the way out to LA. They're coming off of a huge dominant win. There was none of that at hand today, Rev. You're at home. He had all the momentum. He had all the motivation in the world, knowing that this team had one of their four wins at your expense. Had you won that game, which you should have, you wouldn't be in this mess to begin with. And they didn't come out and play like they had that inspiration at all. And that, to me, is what's most concerning. They backed up last week's performance, where I sort of excused it to some degree, and pretty much put together the same one.
Yeah, you don't want to see this right now. Now, not right now. I mean, because if you're of the belief that momentum is important going into the playoffs or going into a crucial game that you need to win to get in the playoffs, you would want that kind of that momentum game going into that game, right? But the Bills didn't get that. Yeah, they got the win, but it's how they got it. I guess that kind of, you know, leaves a little bit, you know, just left to be desired. Now, I will say this. On the flip side, though, even though we didn't see the offensive performance that we wanted to see, I think what we can glean from this game, and really the last 2 weeks, regardless of how they won it, it's a different approach to how they win these games. It's, you know, earlier in the season, we would have seen Sean McDermott coaching bad late in the games, and these Buffalo Bills would have lost those games. They did lose those games. But now with their backs against the wall, it doesn't matter. You're going against Easton Stick, you know, cross-country trip on a short week in L.A. against the Chargers team that just fired their head coach, and you've got that juice from them. They won the game at the end. It didn't matter. It was ugly. It was gritty, but they came out on top. Going back home in another must-win game against a divisional opponent who beat you guys, who beat them earlier in the year, week seven, against a different team with, like we talked about earlier, with Bill Belichick coaching and probably one of his last games, you know, and just the juice that we're going to get from them. Bailey Zappi, a new quarterback, the Bills found a way to win. So I think we can get that, but this Bills team seems to be a resilient bunch. No matter what it looks like, they can find a way to win. And that is something that you can't take away from them. And it's something that I'm not going to take away from them, because if they get in the playoffs and say, you know, wild card game, whoever, I mean, let's just say it just happens to be, they go to Kansas City and they win a gritty game like this. Are we talking about, man, but the Josh Allen, the offense looked abysmal. Josh was 15 of 30 again. He had a horrible game, but the defense showed up but they won. Are we really talking about the offense? Or are we talking about, man, look, hey, great win. It didn't matter how we got it, as long as the Bills won, right? So it's that, I think, is what you can take. And I think that is something that the Bills can take with them going forward, is that they know how to win gritty games of late. And I think that is going to be the key to getting them over the hump next week and hopefully going forward into the playoffs.
No, I'm all about that too, especially because of the scenarios earlier in the year that unfolded where they did not end up getting those games. And the ones that they did get, they weren't like this, where they were running the ball out on their own terms. You know, like last week, yes, the Chargers get the ball back, but Ed Oliver ended that real quick. The Chiefs game, yes, they got the offsides, but we beat into the ground, they had a full set of downs after that to go and get into field goal range, and the defense shut them down. This week, the Bills had about 6 minutes on the clock. They ran it all the way down to the end. So I 100% agree with you. I 100% agree with you to the fact that, hey, a win's a win. That's all I wanted today. Did I want to see a bit more? Obviously, especially with the way the last game went against these guys. But we talked about it. You knew you were going to get Belichick's best crack. Bailey Zappi really hasn't been playing terrible football, so to speak. I mean, that Pittsburgh Steelers team that just beat the shit out of the Cincinnati Bengals last week, that put up almost 500 all-purpose yards today against Seattle, they beat them. They beat Denver last week, right? Mm-hmm. So we knew what this was going to be. What was disheartening the most is it was just Allen's performance to me that was the most disheartening, because a lot of that seems like it's not being inflicted upon him from the opponent. A lot of it just seems like there's times where he's just out of it. I mean, he even said to a reporter after the game that he was just throwing the ball terrible today. I mean, he knew it. He knows it.
Yeah.
How could he not? But the reason is why and how. There are times where I'll just see him. He will not set his feet. He's almost falling backwards as he's throwing the ball. Mm-hmm. And the one other thing, too, I've noticed is a lot of times every single throw has all of his arm power behind it, no matter what, when it doesn't need it. And I feel like at times that ends up screwing with the accuracy a little bit. I have no idea. I just know that if we can get the best version of Allen that we've seen, I mean, this defense right now is extraordinary. That's the one
thing.
It
really is.
Yeah. Game. I mean, I know we sit and harp on the offense because that's the thing to do, and that's always going to be the most concerning element, and it was concerning today. But my God, this defense is and has been extraordinary, and they're getting healthier. I mean, Micah Hyde back in the lineup today, that huge hit he had in the open field.
Yep, that
was awesome. DaQuan Jones back, of course. Epinesa had a couple of great plays today. He sure did. And then Ed Oliver, I don't know anybody maybe playing better defense single-handedly than Ed Oliver is currently right now. So this defense is damn good enough to beat anybody. And if they just don't shoot themselves in the foot in late in games like they had, that's what made me so happy about the end of that Chiefs game and the end of that Chargers game. Those were games where McDermott would say, hey, guys, prevent time, let them go down. And they
Right. Yeah.
So you mix together the recent ability to get rid of the late game implosions defensively, and you collectively look at their body of work throughout the game, which more or less almost every game this year has been pretty damn good. If Allen can go into next week and then take into the playoffs, even I'm not even talking the games like we got against the Chiefs in the 13-second game or the perfect Patriots game. Those are like one-off all-time games. I'm just talking about the games like, you know, that we got against the Jets, for instance, a couple of weeks ago, or the game against Kansas City, where he's not lighting it up going crazy, but he's not necessarily playing visibly bad football. When Allen's playing visibly bad football, it hurts this team. For instance, today, when there's that interception, right? I constantly stick up for Allen on the interceptions because I think last week's a good example. He has a pick last week, but if he doesn't throw the pick, do you get the amazing throw to Shakir at the end of the game that ends up winning it for him? He makes those type of throws. Sometimes they go your way. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
The problem is when you're in a game like today where there isn't really any good coming out of those type of throws and you mix with that terrible throw that was just so unnecessary in the moment, that's what hurts this team.
Yeah, it just compounds it. And you want to see better from Josh because we know that he's better. Right. I mean, we know that Josh, when he is playing his game, there's very few that can compete with Josh on his A game. I mean, you can count them on a few fingers, right? Yep. And so it's like you want to see Josh be consistent, because if Josh is consistently playing at his best, the Bills trounce anybody. And but the way the Bills lose is not because they're getting beaten by other teams necessarily. It's because they're getting beaten by themselves. They're having, you know, penalties, you know, or Josh is just having a bad game. And so you're like, if we can just get rid of that, get rid of the penalties, or get rid of just Josh's bad performances, these Bills teams would walk through anybody. And so, yeah, I mean, that's what you want to see out of Josh. And we expect it. I think, you know, he's going to work on some things. I think I heard him say that, you know, he has some things that he knows he has to work on in the offseason. And I believe that – I think it's going to go back to his fundamentals, man, his footwork and all that kind of stuff. I think he may have gotten away from some of it, you know, over the past, you know, couple of years. I don't know how much work he's been doing with Palmer, you know, in the offseason. But regardless, I think Josh, he's his own worst critic. And he's going to look back over this year, no matter where the Bills go. And he's gonna work on it, and I expect to see his best going forward. But this year, man, we just have to ride with it and just go with it. But the encouraging thing is that we have a defense now that's putting up on the end of games. I mean, when's the last time we could say that, right? Because there's been times when we're just like, oh my gosh, the defense has to make a stop at the end of the game, and we don't have any faith in this defense to do it. We saw Mac Jones do it against the Bills. March down the field against the Buffalo Bills defense. But now it's like this team is finding a way to win on the backs of the defense, which, I mean, I guess it can go back to the old adage, you know, offense scores points, but defenses win championships. So if we can get this defense and carry it forward, and this defense can keep them close and be opportunistic, they're always going to keep this Bills team in these games.
A couple of good points that I wanted to bring up in the comments, because I think that they both kind of coincide with each other in a way that you might not necessarily think of right out of the you know, right off the first impression. So I was talking earlier about how you take the good with the bad with Allen, you'll get the picks, but you'll get some great throws to go with that, and it almost washes out. And Huck Music's coming in here saying Josh had some big throws today. Yeah, he certainly did. He had that amazing throw late in the game on third down near their own goal line where he was scrambling to the right, got it off first down. I forget who it was to. I believe it might have been to Kincaid.
It was Diggs.
Oh, was it Diggs?
Diggs. I think it was like a 39.
Well, okay.
Something like that. Yeah, 39. Yeah, yeah.
The great throw, obviously, out of half to Kincaid. What I wanted to reference, though, is this is all true. But here's how you know when Allen's having a bad game and when you know you're scared to see what he's going to do next. And it's what my man Hillslayer brought up when he mentions the two fumbles. They were egregious decisions from a veteran quarterback of his stature. You are falling to the ground on a QB sneak type game play. You are literally on your way to the ground, wrapped up by a defender, and you're looking for a pitch. This isn't the Super Bowl, and this isn't a 40 to 45 shootout. You're playing Bailey Zappi and the New England Patriots. Fall down and take your next rep when you get it. That's when you know right here, those are the moments, and we saw it in the Jets game week one, when you know Allen's pressing really hard, and the question is, why? There was no reason to be doing that today. Is it because they got the ball on the interception early on and didn't score, and now he's trying to compensate for it? I have no idea. But you don't see him do this every week. This is what I'm getting at. It's the games like today where you have those decisions, and you also take into consideration the interception he threw. He wasn't under a ton of pressure, and it was double coverage deep down the field to a tight end for an up-for-grabs ball. A terrible decision.
Bad decision. So
this is what I'm getting at. There's these games where Allen will just compound bad decision after bad decision, and it entirely outweighs the good. Games like last week where he has a bad interception, it's either offset or outweighed by the positives, how he's able to correct it. It just felt like today there was a majority of a lot of pressing and a lot of uncertainty in his decision-making and his throwing, and that resulted in the stat line, and ultimately that resulted in the score in the score sheet based on what the offense was able to put up on the scoreboard themselves. And, you know, he doesn't have a throwing touchdown today either as well, which, not that that's, the biggest concern in the world, but it just felt like today in general. And I think the other key too, Rev, that I noticed, there's a reason he ran the ball 11 times today. It felt like Joe Brady was trying to get to a point where he's like, we got to find a different way to get him going here. I don't think he runs the ball 11 times if he doesn't start out, 0 for 6, 2 for 10? Does he run the ball 11 times if that's the case? There were numerous factors at hand today, little clues that you could pick up on to see it just wasn't his day.
Yeah, he was just off, man. And Brady was doing his best trying to get him in the game and try to get him out of that funk. It just wasn't happening. I mean, no matter what he tried to do, it just was not working. I mean, chalk it up to just a poor game. Hopefully this is not going to make, three straight games like this. Hopefully it's not a trend, because you definitely don't want that kind of a trend going into a win or go home type of a scenario next week, or even into the playoffs if they do manage to win next week and get in. So, it's just like you have to look at the good that Josh does and just hope that he can harness that again and go forward, because he's that type of a player where you just know, all right, man, if Josh can just figure it out, we're going to be just fine. And so that's kind of where I'm trying to be right now.
I also look around the league, and every one of these teams outside of maybe, I mean, I can't even say outside of San Fran, they did it last week against Baltimore, and Baltimore did it a couple times this year. I mean, they got destroyed in a couple of games this season where it came out of nowhere. Every team this year has looked like this to some degree at some point. I just look at the Bills, and I know if they get in, they got as good a chance as anybody. All of these teams have their deficiencies and their flaws, every single one of them. So they just got to be able to get in. And I think next week, I know, I mean, it's a terrifying premise, what's at hand. But when you look at what's factored in on the Miami side and what they've been able to do to Miami under Josh Allen, I think we are piling on our own fears because of the amount at risk, as well as what we saw the last 2 weeks. But I think if we were to base it on what we've seen from the sample size that includes the team we're playing, we should be confident in their ability to go and get it done. So let's talk about that game, Rev, as we move on. I want to talk about next week and looking at Miami. They're banged up. Tua got a little bit banged up today. So did Josh Allen, but he would come out and say it was more of a stinger. It felt a little weird, but he's more than fine. That's good to hear, because the way he was moving after that hit, it kind of had me feeling a little uncomfortable. He's not the type of guy that's going to visibly show you that he's totally hurt. So when you see him moving at all a little bit, it kind of is concerning, but he looks to be okay. Anyhow, the Dolphins are ravished with injuries. They lose Bradley Chubb today. Xavien Howard goes down with an injury. Tyreek Hill seemed to re-aggravate his leg today at certain times. There was a point in the game where he kind of hobbled off the field, took his helmet off, and was limping pretty significantly. Jalen Waddle didn't play today. Raheem Mostert didn't play today. And that's not including a litany of other injuries that this Dolphins team is facing. I mean, this team is banged up. They got their ass handed to them today. And when you look at any meaningful game that the Dolphins have played this year outside of last week against Dallas, where they still, mind you, only scored one touchdown in that ballgame and were able to win.
Yeah.
Dallas fumbles on their own 1 yard line. It was a mess. They have lost to the Chiefs without scoring a point in the second half. They lost 48-20 to the Buffalo Bills. They lose 56-19 today against the Baltimore Ravens. I understand that we have our trepidations, and we should, because we're Bills fans, and of course we're going to have them. Doesn't matter who we're playing. Hell, I had them up until the last minute today against Bailey Zappi. But these Dolphins have proven time and time again that they're going to show you who they are. And they have done their fair share of proving that against these Buffalo Bills. I'm telling you, Rev, it's almost a spot that sets up right for the Bills, as crazy as it sounds. They have not played any team better under Josh Allen than the Miami Dolphins.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, this is ripe for the Bills. They have this history with them, and we know the record that Josh Allen has against these Dolphins. And so that gives you room for you know, just to be encouraged and to be confident going into this game. And you have to like the Bills' chances. I mean, we saw what they did, you know, earlier this year, week 3, 48-20 victory. The Dolphins, they haven't, you know, done well at all season against teams with winning records. We've seen that, and they've gotten just demolished by superior teams. And so, yeah, you like the Bills' chances. I think going into next week, as long as the Bills can correct their wrongs, you know, offensively, they should handle business against the Dolphins, who are decimated by injury. I mean, completely decimated. Losing guys like that. I mean, we've known that under they have a respectable defense, but now, I mean, when you've already lost, you know, Phillips, and then now you've possibly lost Bradley Chubb. I don't know if they have
word that if he's out. He's going to be done. He's going to be done.
He's done. Okay. And so, so you've got him out too. Yeah. So you have to like the chances. You hope. Right.
Sorry. I just double checked.
Uh-huh.
I'm stunned. So what the happened? Bills opened up as a 1-point favorite right when the game ended today. They are up to a 3-point favorite right now on the road in Miami next week. It has gone up. Wow. It has tripled since about 4 p.m. this afternoon. The Bills on the road.
On the road.
Are a 3-point favorite on Sunday, Rev. You hear that right now, your initial thoughts, knowing the Bills are the favorites in this particular situation
in Miami, which is crazy. I think, you know, it makes me wonder if the injuries, you know, that the Dolphins have sustained, coupled with the way they got beat down today, has played a factor into it. And then they're probably looking at the last time this team matched up against each other. I mean, the Bills, you know, waxed them. And so, I mean, normally, you know, you get that 3-point bump from the home team, but to see the Dolphins, you know, as 3-point underdogs at home, that's remarkable, man. That is remarkable. I don't know what to think about that. What are your thoughts?
Did Did you cut out? By the way, my bad. I apologize. Yeah, I apologize. The internet, like, it's never
okay. I was like,
coming forever, and all of a sudden, it's being real weird tonight. I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry. You were talking about
I was just saying that I was kind of shocked by the fact that the Dolphins are, our underdogs like that, and I wondered if it had to do with the injuries that were sustained to the Dolphins.
That's what I was
with the way they got beat down today. I mean, I think that has a lot to do with it, and they're probably looking at, okay, well, the Bills won't play like that, next week, and so the Bills should be favored going into this game. Plus, with the way Josh Allen has really owned this team, the past several years, could play a factor into that. But I'm actually kind of surprised by it. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm looking around as well, just kind of taking into consideration what's at the landscape surrounding the Bills next week. I'm looking at that Pittsburgh-Baltimore game. So just to show you how this is going to be viewed, Pittsburgh is a 3.5-point favorite on the road against Baltimore. So that's telling you Baltimore is not going to play anybody next week. We all know that because they locked it up, but that there's not going to be any help coming your way in that game, certainly. And Jacksonville, also a 3.5-point favorite. So the way I look at it, I completely understand it. The Bills beat them 48-20 earlier in the year and did whatever they wanted with them on offense, and were also toying with Tua defensively. They're also going to this game looking to beat them for, the fourth consecutive time? They're already on a 3-game win streak against these guys. Yeah. 9-2. Under Josh Allen. And this is a Miami team that not only is now decimated with injuries, but it's also a team that has lately seemed like they have gotten away from what they're best at. It felt like Miami was really good at least offensively, staying in games and being competitive that way. It's felt like their offense, as of late, has not had the consistency. And you factor in Tua's turnovers. He had two terrible interceptions today. I look at how the Bills have defended him. What they've done is what works against him almost every time. And you got to wonder if Mike McDaniel is going to have a counter to it this time around, because they haven't.
Yeah. Right.
If you get pressure on him and take away his first read, he turns into, essentially a jugs machine.
Average.
The Bills have done an extraordinary job of that. They've also done a great job of mitigating Tyreek Hill's impact on the game. And Jalen Waddle has had these spurts lately where he'll just have one catch and not do much. Against the Bills, I've noticed Jalen Waddle has been the primary feature, because the Bills really do find a way to take Tyreek Hill out of the game.
Yeah.
I just wonder what Miami's strategy is going into this that differentiates from all the other games they've played this year that are similar, where they've come up short every single time, except for Dallas, where we've learned. I mean, I don't know how you feel about Dallas. I think Dallas is an absolute wolf in sheep's clothing. They scare nobody. And that's got nothing to do with what the Bills did to them. They should have lost last night. They should. They every game that they've gotten into, similar to the Dolphins game, or similar to this Dolphins team, it's the exact same thing. And what do you know, when those two went off against each other, it was literally like playing each other in the mirror. The game wound up being 22-20. Both teams looked mediocre at best, and it really came down at the end to who wanted it less, who was going to make the mistake, the additional mistake. And it wound up being Dallas that game who did that. So I'm looking at the collective body of work, and yes, Miami is 11-6, and yes, I give them credit, and I have all year, for them beating up on the teams that they should. The Bills do not do that nearly to the caliber Miami does. But when I'm looking at this spread, and I'm looking at the history of it, and this is, we were even talking about this before I saw the spread, when I was saying there's more reason for us to be confident going into this game than there is otherwise, it does make sense to me. It actually does. Now, I don't want to adopt that mindset, though, Rev, because I'm scared shitless. I can't lie. I don't care if the Bills were playing my JV Pop Warner team this week. I'd be scared. Because this is, you got to think about what we've been going through as fans the last month and a half. I mean, this has been a roller coaster. And it's a ride you're on with the knowledge that you can keep the ride going to some extent, almost no matter what. Like, even after the Broncos game. Ref, I mean, I thought after the Broncos lost, this Bills team was done. I thought it was over. But the ride didn't stop. I mean, it was slowed down to a halt. But then all of a sudden you hit a speed boost here, you hit a speed boost there, and you're freaking flying. You're hitting the corkscrews, you're hitting the loop-de-loops, right? Yeah. Next week, the Bills either hit blast off onto this ride into the playoffs, or this thing comes crashing down. There's no more lingering hope. And that's why, you know, it's a really heavy cross, I think, to bear as a fan going into this week, because you had all this time to kind of hope one thing goes one way, one thing goes another way. Now it's just pretty black and white, man. It's go in and do it or go home. And I don't care who you're playing. That's a scary situation to be in, especially when you've gone through this last month and a half where the Bills have been fighting for their lives since pretty much the end of October.
Yeah. And now that you, I mean, so now it's like the reality of the situation is kind of hitting me even more. I mean, it was real, but like, just listen to you talk about it. Puts it in a different light for me. The Bills have not had their backs against the wall any more than they will have them against the wall next week in a scenario where it's win and you're in with a division win, lose, and potentially miss the playoffs altogether, you know, unless you get some help. That's a place you don't want to be in, but it's also a place you don't want to play a team whose backs are against the walls like that, especially a team with a Josh Allen and these weapons that they have, with the history that they've had over the Miami Dolphins. So that's scary for the Dolphins. Make no mistake about it. I mean, we're kind of like, you know, concerned about the game, but you have to know that the Miami Dolphins and their fan base is just as nervous about this game.
Yeah, you couldn't tell
as we are. Oh, you definitely couldn't tell. You definitely couldn't tell, but this game is for all the marbles, and I think the Bills come out, man. They come out swinging, in this game next week. How they win is as long as they do it. That's all. That's really all that matters to me. As long as they do it, and I feel like I'm talking myself into it. As you can tell, I'm talking myself into it. I feel like the Bills are gonna do what they have to do, man. I cannot see a scenario. At least I don't want to see a scenario in which the Bills lose and they're sitting at home, because there's going to be a lot of questions that need to be answered if they miss the playoffs like that.
As we were on the topic of the betting line, I figured I'd go ahead and show you, courtesy of my friends over at BetUS. Let's head over to BetUS right now, and I'll show you what I was talking about earlier. Here it is. Not more than a couple hours ago, the Bills were about a 1.5-point favorite. It is doubled or tripled, depending on where you were looking, up to -3. So if you're confident in the Bills to get it done at -3, you can do so over at BetUS. You can also bet on all of the other games next week. And Rev, I know the Bills game is obviously our primary focus, but there's some great football next week. You got Houston and Indianapolis. That game's winning in. You got, Tampa Bay Bucks next week might be winning in. There's a variety of games that are massive. Pittsburgh, I think, obviously, if they win and the Bills lose, big game for them. So next week is essentially a playoff-type atmosphere for a ton of teams, and you can bet on all of those over at BetUS. Of course, you can also get in on Bet, NHL, you name it, they got it. Live betting, parlays, props, and teasers as well, everything going on over at BetUS, including fast payouts and incredible customer service. If you're going to taste that -3, which I think I might, Ram, because I'll tell you this.
I was about to ask you.
If it went up that quick, I guarantee you, Rev, when you wake up tomorrow, there's a very good chance that continues to rise. So if you're looking to get on that 3, you might want to get on it soon. And if you do, 125% sign-up bonus in the link in the description below. You can head on over to BetUS, take advantage of that, and throw it on the Bills. The way I look at it, Rev, and I might do this, if I take the Bills at -3 on BetUS and the Bills win, then I can pay for all my AFC East gear, and I'm done. If it loses, I didn't have anything to buy with it in the first place, and I'm already miserable, so why not throw a couple more bucks on top of my misery that I lost? I can be even happier if I win. So there's always that. So you can get in on that too. You know, more quick word from BetUS before we wrap up shop here tonight on the smoke break.
BetUS, America's favorite sports book, where you can bet on everything anytime. Sportsbook, casino, horse racing, live betting, and more. We have the best bonuses in the industry. That's right, get a 125% sign-up bonus. And to celebrate our 30-year anniversary, we are giving up to 30 risk-free bets, a truck, Super Bowl tickets, and more. Don't miss out. Play smart. Join now. BetUS, where the game begins.
Where the game begins, and the game begins next week, Rev. It's a whole new season. It's next week. It's win, and it's in, and it's win. I mean, I can't get over, Rev. This is what's killing me the most. I can't get over the fact that it's not just winning, it's in. It's winning, it's the two seed. These Bills were dead in the water a month ago, and it's the two seed. Home playoff games, should you get there.
Is there a scenario in which the Bills win and they don't get the two seed, or is it if they win, they're getting a two seed regardless? Like, what does Cleveland have to? I kind of want to go back over that scenario.
Which scenario again?
Is there a scenario in which the Bills win next week and they don't get the two seed?
Let's go time before we wrap it up, because that's a good question. So I don't know if there is, unless I don't believe there's another team that could jump it. I'm just looking here. Do you see a team that would be capable of jumping it? Because the Bills have the tiebreaker with KC, so that doesn't matter. They would have the tiebreaker with Miami. Cleveland already lost the division to Baltimore, so that wouldn't matter. So no, it's two seed or it's two seed, or if they lose seven. They would play Miami again. So say they lose and Baltimore beats Pittsburgh, they're back in Miami again. Crazy. Yep. Now, if Pittsburgh beats Baltimore and Tennessee beats Jacksonville, same scenario. So your two scenarios, Rev, two seed or seven seed back in Miami. The winner of next week gets the two seed no matter what.
Wow. Which scenario do you like the best? Which scenario do you feel the most confident? The Bills at the seven going into Miami, or the two seed?
Well, it depends on what we're getting here. That's what I wanted to look at real quick. This two seed scenario. What happens? Okay, so this is the three scenarios, Rev. You looking at this? If the Bills win, okay. If the Bills win and Baltimore beats Tennessee. And Baltimore beats Pittsburgh. Then the Bills will play Jacksonville.
You got to factor in the Texans and the Colts game too, because I think that changes things.
Yeah, that's right here. That's right here, I think. Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
There's possibilities for them to play all of them. Is there? Oh, no. The winner of that would get Jacksonville would switch it up. Okay. Yep. You're right.
Yeah.
So it's a variety. It's a handful of teams. They'll either play Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, or Pittsburgh. I guess the question remains out of that, Rev, out of those teams, who would you prefer to see? Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Houston, or Indy?
I think I'm leaning towards Pittsburgh. At home, Pittsburgh's playing is they're just a greedy team. But I think I like them with our chances with Mason Rudolph. We have history. Like, I don't know anything about Indy and Gardner Minshew and their run game. CJ Stroud
nothing to do with that Houston team.
Yeah, I'm about to say that could be a sneaky team that could beat us, man. Jacksonville, I wouldn't be afraid of Jacksonville. I think the Bills could win that game in a revenge game at home. But give me Pittsburgh, man. Give me Pittsburgh at home. I don't want to have to go to Miami again and have to beat them three times in a year. I don't want to have to do that.
I also can't imagine a world where these Pittsburgh Steelers get in. I mean, how the hell is that possible? If the Pittsburgh Steelers get in and the Bills don't, I'm going to be sick to my stomach. Rev, before we wrap up tonight, we're like 3 hours from midnight. What are you and the fam doing tonight for the big 2024? What's in store?
Honestly, nothing, man. We're just going to sit here and chill, bro. We're just chilling. My wife went out to grab something to eat. And we're just going to hang out as a family, man, and ring in the new year.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go hang out with my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, Caroline, and my niece, Peyton. We got some food. And I'd say we're going to watch some ball, but I got to tell you, I could give a rat's ass about Packers-Vikings tonight.
Yeah, me too.
Who cares? I wish they would have put that Baltimore-Miami game in that slot tonight so I could have watched that beatdown with full focus as opposed to looking at the corner screen while the Bills were taking on the Patriots all day.
I gotta tell you, it was nice.
Every time I looked out.
I may jump on like Apple Plus and I like a Monarch. I don't know if you've seen the Monarch series. I'm a big Godzilla and Kong fan. And so like
really?
Monarch. Yeah, they have like a series now with Monarch themselves, and so I've been catching it, man, on Apple Plus, and so I'm gonna go ahead and
I'll tell you what, the series lately, it reminds me of when I lived in New York City. There's so much to do that you end up doing nothing. There's so many series I want to watch that I just end up watching none of them because I can't decide on one. So it's good you have like a niche there. When football ends, I'm gonna need to find something, and I don't know what the hell it's gonna be. Maybe I'll dive in the Monarch. I don't know.
Well, let's hope football for the Bills don't end next week.
Listen, what are you doing this week? I know you got probably plenty coming in store for the folks this week, as will I. This is a huge week. I don't know. Just keep your eye out on the YouTube notifications and Twitter. I might go live four times a day this week. I don't know. I need to start talking about this more and more. I need to get the nerves off. I need to start talking to myself, positive affirmations. Here's the end of the, here's the story as we head into 2024, folks. Was today beautiful? No. Was it ugly? Yes. Did the Bills really have anything go their way today outside of the Baltimore game? No. But at the end of the day, the Bills had a 14% chance to make the playoffs less than a month ago. We sit here today. We go into next week, not only with an opportunity to make the playoffs, but the 2 seed in an AFC East championship. That's the reality. It's time to take advantage of it. And we will do so in the new year. Enjoy the final remaining hours of 2023. I hope in 2024 with friends and family. What do we got, Rev? What are you looking at?
Man, we missed some super chats, man. Let's take a second. We got a few super chats.
Would it be a smoke break without me playing the music and missing the smoke? The super chats? Of course not. Let's pan it out a little
bit. Shout out to Caroline because she gave us she put it in the chat. She's like, hey, man, you missed some super chats.
But she reminded me. She's mad at me right now. I got to get on the road, apparently. But David Reed, sorry, brother. You know I'm the worst. But Dave comes in. He's saying, the Bills playing in week 18 for either the 2 seed or to miss the playoffs sums up 2023 perfectly. I mean, yeah, not only does it sum up the 2023 season perfectly, it sums up the Bills perfectly. It's just the way it goes. It's either it's going to be pure bliss or pure hell. Don't know which side you're going to be on, but I hope to God it's the bliss. Oftentimes,
me too, man.
You know, and then my girl Linda's coming in here and she's saying, I think she was at the game today. Was there. Yeah. It was tough, but we got the win. Happy New Year's. And thanks, guys. Happy New Year's.
Absolutely.
You, Linda. Happy hope New you Year's. Had fun today. I mean, it was still probably a lot to have fun at with that game. It's always fun being in the stadium.
Got the win. That's all that matters, man.
Exactly. You got the win. And I tell you, that early on defensive performance was probably fun getting after on the game.
Yep.
And then Anthony coming in to round us out here. Tired of these close games. We need to squish the fish. Praying Josh is good and ready to go.
There it is, baby.
Still the same way. We feel the same way. Folks, thanks so much for joining Rev and I tonight on the final smoke break of 2023. I hope you guys have a terrific New Year's Eve and an even better New Year's Day tomorrow as we bring in the new year and we bring in the opportunity to go and win that AFC East. We'll be live all throughout the week. Make sure to keep it locked on the YouTube and the Twitter for the notifications. But until then, everybody in here and Rev, Happy New Year, brother.
Happy New Year to you too, man. God bless everybody, man. Go Bills. Shout out to everybody, man.
Shout out. God bless. Go Bills. Happy New Year and a little bit of a partridge in a pear tree.
There it is.
Have a good night, everybody.
Oh.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.